Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. We are concentrating on the 18th perek, or the 18th chapter of Sefer Yehoshua today. This is a perek which has 28 psukim. And just to date, just to recap where we're standing. So far, the Bnei Yisrael have successfully spent their time dividing the land between the following tribes. On East Bank Jordan, where the country Jordan stands today, was given to the tribe of Chatzishev Menashe, Reuven and Gad. That was sorted out, so that's 2.5 tribes. On the west bank, so far, we've seen the portion of Yehuda and Yosef, including the remainder of Menashe and Ephraim. So sum total at this point in time is 2.5 on one side, 2.5 on the other side, which is 5 tribes. That means there are 7 tribes left. So this perek deals with the following. Those remaining 7 tribes now return to Moshe and say, well, look, you've conquered the lands. The lands in front of us is conquered. But we need our portion. So Yeshua's response is a little interesting. He says, Ad ono atem misrapim lavoi l'reshes ha'aretz asher nosan lochem Hashem Elokei Avoseichem. So when are you going to be lazy? Meaning you're weak. You're not conquering the land. You are demanding yourselves. So he suggests send 3 representatives from each tribe, and we're going to do a division of that land of where the rest of these 7 tribes are actually going to belong. Yehoshua points out that Yehuda is going to still have the southern flank, Yosef is going to be the northern or we'll call central flank, central area, and we're going to divide up the rest of it based on the Goral and the Mephoshim to try to debate how much of the lottery was playing a role and how much was it human cognition or decision making that was working with us in this particular case. And that is in fact what happened. They sent their representatives and he divided up the remaining land into the 7 remaining tribes. What we're about to see then is that the rest of this parak really focuses on the division of the land of Binyamin. Binyamin is the next tribe who's getting his portion, and he is wedged directly between Yehuda on the southern flank and Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim in the central area. So, you know, actually Jericho is part of Binyamin's territory, sort of that area of the northern Dead Sea area, and moving across in a westerly direction is where Binyamin is to be found, immediately above Yehuda. And of course, Binyamin and Yehuda are going to share the section of the where the Beis HaMikdash is. Now, there's a few things to focus on in this perek, and the one of them is that almost completely without making fanfare, the perek actually starts off by this whole episode of this discussion taking place in Shiloh. Because it says that Vayishkenu Shom Yisrael Moed, Va'aretz Nich B'Shal Lifneihem, they established the tent of meeting, the Mishkan, and then this whole discussion ensued. Now, that without really focusing on it, that is a really momentous point. That means to say that the Mishkan has been re-established. Where's the Mishkan been up till now? So the Mepharshim quoting Chazal say, well, the Mishkan had been in Gilgal. Gilgal was that sort of that city or area which was just outside of Yericho. So when Israel first came into the land, they sort of made that as their base camp whenever they did their conquest. So that's where the Mishkan lived. And for the 7 years of conquest and 7 years of division, that's where it remained until now. And now it was finding its own place in Shiloh. Why did it wait all 14 years? I mean, surely it could have, immediately after conquest had been finished, surely it should have found its place. And so the Mepharshim points out, you know, the Radak says it needed to have a specific place, a specific tribe, and therefore, based on the Pesukim of the Torah, that it says that it has a unique and specific place, so we needed to divide the land first to give it its unique place. Incidentally, the Mishkan that lived in Shiloh, which lived for a very long time, looked a little different to the Mishkan that we learn about and love in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh. In fact, the Mepharshim describe it as the walls were made of stone and the curtains went over the top, so it's much more of a permanent fixture. It's not the Beis HaMikdash yet, but it's on the spectrum upwards in terms of permanence and called a gravity. Now, as we move a little further into this whole discussion, the whole thing is a little strange. Just, you know, this whole discussion seems to be 2 different wavelengths. They're coming to Yehoshua and saying, well, what about our land? And Yehoshua says, well, when are you going to stop being lazy and conquer the rest of the land? But, like, think about this for a second. Well, what's happening? Meaning, surely Yehoshua should have divided the land to all the 9.5 tribes on West Bank in one shot. Like, why do they need a jockey for their position? Well, what's really happening over here? So I looked through a lot of the Mepharshim. The one that I think really tries to get this, really it hits this nail on the head is quoted in the Malbim. His name is the Mahari Kra. He actually lives among the Rishonim. So he is a Mepharish HaPshat. He's really focused on the actual, the explicit meaning in the text. And his name is actually Rav Yosef Karo, not to be mixed up with Rav Yosef Karo of the Shulchan Aruch late on in the 1500s, he's earlier than him. The Mari Karo says the following. At the beginning, there were only two tribes who were actually willing to conquer their own sections, and those were Yehuda and Yosef. They went out, and they went and they conquered their own territory and put their flag in the ground and took control of that area. The rest of the tribes, the remaining seven tribes, wanted to do this as a coalition. So they formed a coalition, and they said, well, we need to conquer the rest of the territory. To which Yahushua says, Adonata Misrapim. So, okay, so carry on doing it. As we know, they didn't fully conquer the land of Israel, and the parts they weren't fully conquered was in the remaining seven tribes' area. So Yahushua says to them, well, yes, we haven't fully conquered your land, but that's actually the ball is in your court. Go ahead and finish the job. So Yahushua has done his job. Hashem's told him, Yahushua, you've grown old. Now Yahushua pushes the responsibility of the continued conquest onto them. And as Rashi points out, what they did, what was this division doing then? This division now was essentially the land that they had conquered in the remaining territory and the land they would conquer in the future. Which means to say that let's say you were one of the other tribes, for argument's sake, Naphtali. That means that Naphtali potentially was getting somewhat of his portion, but not the full thing because there were still Canaanite cities and areas that were under foreign control within his territory, waiting for full conquest later when Bnei Israel had more power. So this is the kind of this dimension of, or in this dialectic of responsibility is being pushed backwards and forwards over here in this discussion about where and when the continuation of the conquest should happen. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.